Welcome to Legal, Legal, and the Coach, a show set to present local and national trailblazers in business and celebrity circles like authors and speakers who will share their stories, struggles, adventures in life, and keys to their success brought to you by Tough Talk Radio Network. Here are your hosts, David Altenburn and Brian Kaiser.
Hello, listeners out there. This is David Altenburn. Welcome to another edition of Legal Eagle and the Coach with my co-host, Brian Kaiser, who is a coach extraordinaire. You know, we talk about wanting to educate and entertain and encourage and excite the entrepreneurs out there with business tips for success. But as you can tell in our title, Legal Eagle and the Coach, we also bring in legal experts. It was a while back that we had a show where we had an expert who had practiced law as a personal injury attorney in Chicago, and he talked about having community events as a way to promote his business. And then we had another attorney that was a hardcore litigator for many years, and then he turned to the other side, and he turned into teaching classes about negotiation, about mediation skills for lawyers. And so today, we are very fortunate to have a family lawyer who talks about from divorce to the deliverance, a wisdom from the judge on surviving divorce, and takes the stages of grief and applies it to the context of divorce. You know, it doesn't matter your economic status. I'm an attorney with many years' experience, pretty selective on divorce matters. But I can tell you that you see people that go through divorce, and there's so many degrees of separation between social, and people don't always play fair. And a lot's at stake between children and money, the things that are near and dear to our heart. So I'm very excited as a fellow attorney to have a chance to question and learn from an expert in this field on how you navigate through that successfully or try to navigate through that successfully. You know, we talk about the things we try to accomplish with this show, and I think today's show is going to be about empowerment, how you take control of your life and work yourself through what may be the most difficult situation you face in life, or one of the most difficult situations. You know, we talked last week about gratitude and Thanksgiving, and this week I want to talk a little bit about giving. It is the season for giving. So don't forget out there to try to give to those that are less fortunate, whether it's your time, your talent, your treasures out there, to try to make their life better, to make their life a little bit happier in this special season, this special holiday season. So, Brian, how are you feeling today, and what thoughts are on your mind as we get ready for another show?
You know, I am blessed and highly favored as always. I'm excited as we move into the end of 2014. There's only 28 days left, and I encourage everybody to take a look around them and see, you know, do you have the relationships you need going into the new year to make you the advances in your business that you want? Is your message speaking to that one person about solving that one problem with that one product and service that you provide? And being grateful. Look around you and be grateful about the things that you have, and kind of relax and not worry so much about what you want, and focus more on being grateful for what you have and serving others and being empowered by that, being empowered by gratitude. You know, we talked on our show last time about, you know, a quote from Brendan Burchard where he said as he entered the grounds of gratitude, then he walked in the palace of happiness. So we really want to focus on that as we move into the end of the year, making sure that we're focused on the things that really matter. And relationships, I think, as being the world's greatest connector, relationships, I think, are the key to life. And I know that you being an attorney, you get to work with those relationships on legal matters. And we're going to get to talk to Ronique here in a few moments. And she gets to work with those relationships as they're not in such a good shape, not in such a good terms, but trying to make something amicable out of the chaos. So I'm really excited about today's show. I think it's going to be awesome. I'm glad you're feeling better because I know you were down over the weekend and had a little touch of the allergies or flu, but glad that you recovered and were able to rock and roll in our show.
Absolutely. And, you know, as a coach, you're often talking about living bold with purpose. And I think our guest today really exemplifies that statement. Our guest is a speaker, an author, a judge, an attorney, and lives with purpose of getting people through the difficult stages of divorce and coming through with, as she likes to say, their dignity. And coming through, you know, hopefully with their dignity, with their sanity, and hopefully seeing things with a healthier perspective than they otherwise might experience through the process without her help. So I'm very interested to hear how she goes about counseling clients in that type of spirit. You know, years ago, I was asked to speak at the Christian Business Fellowship Association about reconciling Christian principles with divorce, because to many, it's hard to reconcile those principles with divorce and what happens in divorce and that sort of thing. And it often will rock us to our core to go through a divorce. It will rock us on our faith. And so we have a very, very special guest that has expertise and has years of experience and special training to assist people on the psychology and the communication necessary to navigate that difficult life experience. You know, we talk about giving value to people. I can't imagine any better value than an attorney that tries hard with their clients to help them navigate through the process and get to a better place, get to a healthier place, emotionally, you know, physically, and all of the aspects socially that are involved as you change your life and change your life dramatically. It can be a very fearful experience. The anxiety of the unknown on how people are going to make it and economically survive. And you often have to counsel on a longer scheme than the immediate, because the immediate can be filled with much stress and much strife. So we've got a very, very special guest today on Legal Eagle and the Coach. Any final thoughts here, Brian, before we go to our first commercial break?
No, just, you know, David, we've had a just a whirlwind since we began the show of incredible guests. I mean, I look back on our first guest and then the second, third, fourth, fifth. I mean, we've had a slew of outstanding talent come on our show, and they've provided exceptional value to everyone that's listening. I'm amazed, and I just want to say that I'm grateful and thankful for all the guests that we've had on our show, from our good friend Mike Calderwood to Andrew Thompson to Michael Jacobs. All of our guests have been just awesome. You know, we did have the attorney Raj from Chicago. Several business coaches, Penelope and Lauren. I mean, we're just blessed guys. I think we're just blessed guys. We just need to thank God that we are blessed guys.
Today's show will be no exception, I assure you, because we have the very special guest of Ronique Bastine Robinson. Like I say, an author, a speaker, an attorney, a judge. And, you know, they often say that, especially in this season, And it's worth reminding our listeners out there that a kind word, a kind deed goes a long way to putting smiles on the faces of others. And just maybe, hopefully, that goodwill has a ripple effect that spreads far and wide. And so when we talk about value and helping people, we've got a guest today that lives by that principle on a daily basis. And so I think we can all learn a lot today from our guest, you know, and everything. And don't forget the effect that divorce can often have just on families and children out there. And so for those that are in difficult relationships, maybe this is the most special show of all. For those that have recently gone through a divorce, maybe the wisdom that will be learned today will help take you to a better place. That can only be our hope in this season of helping. Only our hope out there that this will touch one person or 10 people or 100 people out there and to look at their life in a certain way that's healthier, that's better, that adds more value going forward than perhaps the situation they're in at the present. So I'm very excited about getting forward on this and learning the wisdom that our guest has to share with all of us. So we're now heading into a commercial break, and when we come back, we'll have our guest, special guest today.
Live at Choice, where your imagination becomes your reality. If you can imagine it, it's possible. If you can believe it, it's yours. We get it. You're done with the way it is now. You're finished with all the frustration around why you feel stuck and your life isn't working. Imagine what your life would be like if you could have all the answers and see new possibilities. We at Live at Choice choose to make a difference. Live at Choice has developed a proven process and a series of questions that lead participants to the answers they seek, gaining new understanding and self-awareness for both your personal and professional life. If you're ready to get to the life you want, contact us today. Visit liveatchoice.com to get started.
Did you know that an estimated 52 million Americans listened to internet radio in the last month, or that weekly internet radio audience has increased 60% over the last year, and that more than 8 in 10 people are online from any location? Tough Talk Radio Network is a company dedicated to providing a platform that allows opportunities for guests, hosts, and sponsors to market themselves through the internet radio medium, where they can be heard by millions. To find out how Tough Talk Radio Network can help you, go to toughtalkradionetwork.com.
Listen to The Legal Eagle and The Coach each Wednesday from noon to 1 p.m. on Tough Talk Radio Network. Leading local and national experts in business will share their keys to success so that our listening audience can be educated and entertained along the way to becoming all they can be. So whether you're new to business or highly experienced, The Legal Eagle and The Coach with hosts David Alterburn and Brian Kaiser is a great radio program for you. For more information, go to LegalEagleAndTheCoachRadio.com.
Welcome back to Legal Eagle and The Coach. I'm here with David Altenburn, the Legal Eagle, and myself, Brian Kaiser, the coach, and we are going to be bringing up our guest, Ronique Robinson, who's an attorney, a judge, an author, and I've actually had the privilege of having her come to the office, and we got to talk and chat for a while. She's a very, very well-spoken and extraordinary lady. And so we'll bring her up right now. Ronique, are you there?
I am.
Excellent. Are you having fun?
Sure. You can call it that.
if you call navigating divorce fun, I don't know about that one.
Well
you know, I guess it's all who. Yeah, I guess it's all who's leading you through, right, Ronique?
Yeah, it is. I don't know that navigating divorce is ever fun, but talking to you guys is actually pretty exciting. But navigating divorce can be tricky. It can be solemn for some, but it can definitely be liberating for others.
Excellent. Well, before we get really in deep with that topic, can we get you to tell us just a short version of your story of how you got to where you are now? I mean, you're a prominent attorney, you're a judge, you have a book. Can you just take us on that journey real quick?
Yeah, real quick. It started when I was 9. My father was a litigator, and he took me to court with him one day, and I knew from that moment forward that I'd always wanted to be a lawyer, and I kind of took a very straight and narrow path, straight through everything all the way to law school. And I started practicing criminal law because my dad was a criminal defense attorney. And that was really exciting for me for several years. And then I decided that I wanted a more fair fight. And that's how I started in family law, because of Texas being a community property state where everything is 50-50 until you can prove that there's fault. I just felt like the playing field at that point was going to be even. And that on the criminal side, it just seemed to me that the prosecutor had all the toys in their box, and we didn't have any. And I was always very frustrated with that.
Yeah.
So that's how I got to family law. And then after practicing family law for probably around 18 years, I decided that I started to see a very common theme in my clients and the emotional toll that the divorce was taking on them. But as a Christian, I didn't always feel as if being in my office was the best place for me to speak spirituality into their situation, because when they're sitting across the table from me, they don't always want to hear that. And I wanted to keep those lines very clear, but I wrote the book so that I could speak that and they could receive that in a time and a place where they found it more appropriate.
Well, and that gets me to, you maybe beat me to the punch on my question, but this is David Altenburn, the Legal Eagle here on the show, and I see that your book, in a summary of it, talks about the five stages of grief: denial, anger, bargaining, depression, and acceptance. And you take that model and you apply it to kind of the divorce situation. So what gave you that idea for your book to come at it from that angle? And can you just expound a little bit on how you approach those subjects?
Yes. The way that I started to think about that was that I would see people in each one of those stages. So I would have the very angry client, and I recognized that they were angry. They weren't angry with me, but they were angry with the situation,
mm-hmm.
or they were angry with their soon-to-be former spouse. And
mm-hmm.
but a lot of times, as the case progressed, that anger didn't go away, and I saw them being stuck in certain stages. And I started to see that develop as a pattern. If someone was depressed and I saw how very difficult it was for them to even come to the table to even negotiate a settlement because they were very stuck in their depression. And I started to see that a divorce is really, it's a grief process. It's a mourning. You've lost a significant part of your life.
Mm-hmm.
And you've lost a lot of times your absolute best friend. And that's a difficult place to be. But what happens in grief is that you hope that the person gets to a place of acceptance. And they've accepted that this person is gone, and they've accepted that they're in a better place, and they then can move from each of those stages, whether they go through all of the stages or whether they just go through a couple of the stages, but they can move to a place of acceptance. The difference
mm-hmm.
with the divorce, though, is that you can accept that you've been divorced, but you can stay very stuck in each one of those stages. You can get divorced and the judge can bang the gavel and you are still angry. And so that's how I ended up writing for the deliverance piece, to say I really want to help you get delivered from whatever stage that you find yourself stuck in.
Well, hopefully with your education that you set out there, it makes a big difference on people that read your book, because in my experience as an attorney that's handled a number of divorces over the years, you're absolutely correct on everything you just mentioned. And so any kind of extra counseling with this vehicle of your book, I think, is a great value out there to people. So thank you for putting that out there. I really feel it is a most appreciated and most needed kind of guidance out there.
Well, thank you.
Ronique, when you sit down and analyze the situation, what is the first step that you take with somebody so that you can kind of have a breakthrough, if you will, and start helping the healing process while they're going through this trying time in their life?
The first thing that I do is I try to get them to approach the divorce from a place of reason. And that
I bet that's tough.
Yeah, because there's so much emotion, you know, getting to look at it from a rational, reasonable point of view is often a big hurdle. You're right.
Right. And so if you can get them to the place of reason, even if it's not fully there, if they can just understand why you have to function in reason to allow them the luxury of functioning in their emotional state, that goes a long way. And so that's the very first thing I try to do. But in the process of trying to get there, in our interview and in our conversations, I can begin to discern where they are. If they're very resistant and if they're still crying a lot, then you know that they're still a little bit depressed about what's going on. If they're angry and they're lashing out, you know, they're angry, and they may still be in that place. They may even be getting to a point of bitterness. But if they really want to negotiate, and what you hear is not a bargaining of the property and bargaining of rights and duties with regards to the children, but a bargaining of the relationship. That's
mm-hmm.
when you know they're not in the best place.
Well, you know, it struck me years ago in talking to a number of marriage counselors that they would talk about kind of the seven stages of marital bliss, and they would say that many, many relationships get stuck in about the third stage, which is kind of the battle stage, like you're just mentioning there, that it's not so much about the technical aspect of the property division, which can be identified, valued, characterized as separate property or community property, or the aspects of children, because we now have standard possession guidelines in the state of Texas. We have standard child support guidelines in the state of Texas, but it's often still in that battle stage. Is that what you kind of find as well?
I do. When they're in that bargaining stage, it's often that battle stage. But another stage that I see a lot is where they get stuck with reconciliation and the feelings that develop around that place, because reconciliation is really part of the breakup process, and a lot of people don't recognize that. Sometimes you need to go back to assure and confirm that the decision that you've made to leave is the right decision. And once you engage a divorce attorney, it becomes very difficult to go through that process, because you almost feel as if you're losing face by saying, well, I've gone to the attorney and I want the divorce, but really, I want to try again. And I find that they get stuck there.
Yeah, you know, we talk about like there's a 60-day cooling-off period in the state of Texas because we know that divorce is very emotional and people can change their mind. I'm sure you've had the same experience as myself where someone was kind of dead set on a divorce all the way up to the signing of an agreed decree and making it final, when they'll come to you and say, you know, I've been praying about this, I've been really thinking about this, and I just feel like I need to give it another chance. And so we as lawyers, if we're doing the right thing, back off that situation and counsel them. And if reconciliation is the approach they want to take, we encourage them, you know, to go forward in that vein. And so it is a very emotional experience. And so it sounds like you come at your clients with a lot of counseling, which is what's needed in this field so much compared to many other fields of law.
I do. I try to come at them from a very nurturing, very kind of hand-holding perspective, just because I just believe that the less you fight, the better off everyone will be. So I don't think that your rights should be abridged. I don't think that you should allow someone to walk over you. But at the same time, I do think that if you communicate with civility, that you're going to get to a better stage, be it whether that is reconciliation or whether that is a final divorce. Especially if there's children involved, you're going to have to co-parent at the end of it. So just continuing to keep the line of communication open is so important. And so not allowing the anger to create a chasm that the person cannot cross anymore is important to me.
Well, one of the important functions of lawyers you may find as well is that so many clients come into a divorce with a lot of misconceptions. For example, we'll often hear, I want sole custody. Well, in the state of Texas, the preferred model now is joint managing conservatorship in title, even though one person receives child support, one person receives primary right to select domicile, the place of residence for the children. So do you find as well there's a lot of misconception coming into divorce, and that part of our role is to just counsel and educate people as to the areas of law that are fairly standard in the state of Texas?
Absolutely. I do find that, and I do talk to them about that, but I am also one of those attorneys that likes to be creative and that likes to say that we do have these standards, but they are presumptions and they're guidelines,
right.
And
right.
That if we can overcome those presumptions, that we should. But if their situation and scenario does not accommodate overcoming the presumption, I am quick to tell them, don't spend the time, the money, or the
right.
emotional capital
well,
to
good.
Pursue that which we can't get.
Yeah, that's a big function of us, to educate and counsel out there, and it sounds like you do a great, great job of doing that with your clients. Brian, your questions.
Well, yeah, you guys get to deal with folks when they come to you lawyers, then they have a problem. And the thing I know about David and I'm sure as I get to know Ronique more and over the time, is that they come to you with a problem, but they're very quick to become friends and part of a family situation where you are putting the best interest at heart first and within the confines of the law and getting them through a process. And I really admire both of you guys for being able to do that, because I know when you guys get clients, that's got to be like one of the toughest things to overcome, is that client's in trouble. They have a problem. They have a major problem. If you're having to go to a court and it has to be decided by someone other than you, then that's a major issue. And I my hat's off to both of you guys for being able to handle that. But from your from that standpoint of those people being in trouble, how is it that you keep focus on the law and the legal ramifications and parameters that you have to guide them through a process without getting too entangled in the personal emotional side?
For me, that's actually fairly simple and easy, because I try to be extremely stoic about the legal aspect, because there's so many different things in the court that don't go exactly the way you want them to go. If you as the attorney invest your emotional capital in it, then you could lose sight of what's in your client's best interest. Attorneys oftentimes get into a battle with the other attorney, and so the fight is no longer about their client, but about them winning over their opposing counsel. Well, that hurts clients.
You got to be careful about being what we call a righteous believer in a cause of a client, as opposed to looking at the aspects of what the court is going to look at on the decision-making. So I think that's a great point you just made, because we do see that at the courts. We do see that among attorneys. We do see that, you know, among clients pushing attorneys to get to that point where they have to hear for their own emotional self-worth that they're absolutely right, when oftentimes it's a gray area in between that both sides need to give and compromise to get to the proper place at the end.
Absolutely. And a lot of times, too, what you'll see is that, just to piggyback on what David said, that clients want you to be sometimes what they'll call their bulldog. They want you to be, you know, their warrior. And they want you to fight with that other attorney, because somehow or another in their mind, they have convinced themselves that if you're fighting with that attorney, that you're fighting for them and that they've got adequate representation. And that's not always the case. And I always want to educate clients that the lawyer's creed says that we will act professionally with our opposing counsel. And so I'm going to scream and yell at them just because you want to scream and yell. And sometimes you have to, even when you have a client that you really like them, you just kind of have to give them that speech that says you have to bring the emotion down so that I can adequately and effectively advocate on your behalf.
Yeah, it's a great point. I'm often talking to clients about don't mistake style for substance. I may have a conversational style. I'm tough as nails inside. I've analyzed your facts. I've analyzed your law. But at the end of the day, like you say, there's a certain professionalism that you should always carry yourself with, a certain reasonableness that you should always carry yourself with. So I think it's a great point you make there.
So you can't just come busting in like TV shows and just be, you know, like, you know, the winner all the time because you just look at somebody and give them the evil eye?
Can't remember the last time a witness just broke down on the stand like you see on television on a regular basis. It just doesn't work that way. It doesn't matter how serious the issues are. It doesn't usually work that way.
But isn't it funny how... and you guys, since y'all are both attorneys, and I because the show, you know, the premise of our show is to be like the Mike and Mike of for entrepreneurs. So we're going to liven up a little bit, and just I want both of your opinions on this. But don't you feel that because of television and because of some of the storylines and the plots of what people see, when they do come to you, that's what they expect, because that's what they
interesting point.
That's what's been ingrained into them in every television show that has a anything to do with any type of attorney. When that star goes to the attorney, then he hires the pit bull, and the pit bull goes to the court and he tears people a new one and he makes it happen and all this kind of stuff. And The reality is that's not what really happens,
right.
And you guys have to overcome that the fallacy of the mind, if you will, before you can even start working with the client.
That's really a great point, because, for example, if you read the Masters of Cross-Examination, the best masters, the best great trial lawyers, you can study them oftentimes in discovery, oftentimes in cross-examination, will have a very conversational, inviting tone because they know where they're going. But if you take the tone like you see on television, what's the natural psychological reaction, which is to get your backbone up on the other side? So you're not going to get them to talk as much as you want them to talk. You're not going to get them to reveal as much as you want them to reveal if you take that kind of searing style. And if you do that in front of a jury, you'll find out quickly you don't win many trials because juries don't like lawyers beating up on witnesses. Has that been your experience, Ronique, over 20 years?
That has definitely been my experience. I use that argumentative objection a lot because a lot
True.
Of attorneys don't get it. They don't understand.
Right.
You know, that you're not allowing the person to tell a story. You're fighting
Right.
with them. So Yeah. let them tell their story. And I remember being in trial and I made an objection and I said, Judge, I've yet to hear the witness's story. I've only heard the lawyer's version and I've made the leading objection about 10 times and you keep sustaining it. But I still haven't heard the witness's story, and I think that's what jurors want. They want to hear the story because they, too, see the TV shows, and they're expecting a good story. And I think that judges want something to be a little bit more interesting, too, because they hear the same thing every day, and they're just human. And they want to hear something different. And so when you allow that client to tell the story, you really get a much better result.
Exactly, and we're going to go to a commercial break now, and then we'll come back with our experienced family law attorney, board-certified attorney, back after
and
the
judge.
Commercial break.
Join Judy Hoberman on her radio show, Selling in a Skirt, Mondays at noon Central, for exciting discussions about challenges for women in today's society. The talk is about women in business, work and life balance, leadership, and current events related to gender communication. Be prepared to be inspired, motivated, and challenged. Selling in a Skirt with Judy Hoberman on the Tough Talk Radio Network is your connection to women nationally, internationally, and globally. So get comfy and see what the buzz is all about. Listen live on Mondays at noon by going to sellinginaskirtwithjudyhoberman.com.
Feeling burnt out or lost on where to go next? Feeling like you own a job instead of a business, or that your business is running you instead of you running it? Expert business advisor Mike Calderwood can help. Mike uses a personalized, strategic, and proven approach to help you identify what is and isn't working in your business. He'll then help you establish an action plan so your business can thrive. Mike Calderwood. Providing you straightforward solutions to gain a real advantage in your business. Learn more at MikeCalderwood.net.
If you know someone who wants the legal A-team on their side, have them call on Altenburn & Associates, the Legal Eagle, today. David Altenburn is an experienced and recognized top lawyer in Houston who will put an eagle's eye to protecting the client's best interests at all times. For any personal injury, family law, or business law concern, Altenburn & Associates can help with our connections that count and make a difference for great results. We work hard for the justice our clients deserve, earning client trust and opponent respect, one case at a time. For legal help, call 281-904-6330 today.
We're back with Legal Eagle and the Coach with our legal guest today, Ronique Bastine Robinson, a judge, an attorney with 20 years experience, board certified in family law, and an author of a book, From Divorce to Deliverance, Wisdom from the Judge on Surviving Divorce, and talks about the stages of grief, of denial, anger, bargaining, depression, and acceptance, and hopefully getting clients to the sixth step, of deliverance from being divorced. And we've kind of bantered back and forth on several things, but I want to put out a good word now for attorneys generally in this field. You know, lawyers often get a bad name, but it seems to me, in the divorce arena particularly, given the guidelines in the state of Texas, and I want to see if our guest agrees or disagrees, that having experienced attorneys on both sides of a divorce can often help the process instead of make it a more difficult process. Is that what you find?
Absolutely. I often find that I love when I know my colleague, that I've seen them in the courthouse, I've seen their work, and I respect their opinion, because then I don't feel like I have to second guess everything that they're saying to me about their client. They've established their own credibility.
Great point.
Love that.
Yeah, great point, and I agree, and that's what I think. I think this is an arena, particularly with all the counseling and education, that if you have experienced attorneys on both sides, you often can get pretty good results without it being too painful and too expensive around the table.
Yes, that is true, because when you have experienced attorneys on both sides, nobody feels the need to file a lot of frivolous motions just in order to show that they can.
Right. Right. So spend the money because you can and put the motions out there. Pick up the phone. Call each other. Talk through the issues. Make sure you understand your client's position thoroughly and hope the counsel on the other side has a thorough knowledge of their client's point of view. And with experience, I think you can often help the situation. So I'm happy to hear that you feel the same way and your experience is the same way. It sounds like you approach these matters very similar to what we try to approach the same matters.
Thank you. I do. And I know that a lot of times, you know, we want to make sure that our files are covered, you know, that we've written letters and we've communicated and that we've documented, you know, that was drilled in our head in law school. That document. But every time you write a letter, you have to think about how much you're going to cost your client. And can you cover yourself and cover your client and save them, you know, some expenses? And I think they appreciate that so much. Even if it's just, you know, a couple of hours, it's just the idea that you cared enough about their financial situation to have that impact how you handled their case.
Well, and more than document, you know, we're also taught preparation. And I think if at the front end you can spend extra time with the client, you hit on something great right there, especially in divorce, to let the client know that you care about them and their situation, and that listening to them thoroughly go through their feelings, their situation, what they see as their goals at the outcome of the situation, if it can be achieved, not achieved, that sort of thing. To thoroughly understand their situation can put them at great, you know, comfort and ease that you've got their best interest at heart, and you will fight for their best interest, but you'll do so in a dignified way. And so I'm glad that you feel the same way. Again, it's not all about the documents. It's not all about the motions. Oftentimes it's just understanding the situation and with experience working through that situation.
Absolutely. One of the things that I have often found, too, is that if you can recall and retell your client the things that they've said to you when they didn't think that that had any real legal impact, that lets them know that you're listening. And it's not just that psychological memorization. Well, I'm going to repeat what you said to me so that I remember it.
Kind of the mirror technique that psychologists will talk about to clarify communications.
Right, but not just that. Not just, and it may not be that day. It may be they call and they say, oh, well, this happened, and it's an extension of a previous conversation, and you say to them, oh, yeah, I remember when you said that, and how did that turn out? They really like to know that you're listening, and it's not just about billable hours, and it's not just about the legal impact of the case, but really what is happening in their lives, because a divorce changes everything.
Yeah, it does. It does socially. It does individually. It does in so many ways. Economically.
Economically. Well, you know, Ronique, I'm really interested to take our audience on a little different path, on a little turn here. But I'm really excited because this is the first judge that we've had on our show. And being the first judge on our show, can you tell us a little bit about what it's like to also be a judge?
You don't get to just
work in the courtroom and help the clients. You get to actually sit on the bench and make decisions. And that's got to be it's a position of prominence, but it also, I'm sure, came with some additional hours and additional miles run so that you could get to that level.
Yeah, it is. It's fun. I'm a judge in the city of Stafford, and I am one of our associate judges, and I do get to sit on the bench, and it is fun. You get to kind of judge people's case. You get to help them, and you get to help them from a different perspective because they're even more grateful when they think that the judge has done something favorable for them. And it's really it's empowering to me that I get to sit in a position of decision. And just to guide someone without crossing any boundaries, clearly, but just to be able to shift them in a direction that is beneficial is very heartwarming for me.
What do you find to be the most difficult aspects of being a judge, the most difficult issues that you face as a judge? You know, I've talked to people in years past, like, for example, that sit on grand juries, and they will say that the family situations, the domestic violence situations, for example, are their most difficult, gut-wrenching decisions on who's telling the truth and what really happened and those sorts of things. What do you find as a judge the most difficult situation?
I think the most difficult situation is where you have to apply the law, and then good people just made a mistake, but the law still requires consequences. And
mm-hmm.
That's the most difficult for me, when I know it wasn't intentional, I know it wasn't malicious, but there was still a violation, and there still has to be a penalty of some sort.
Right, right. It reminds me years ago when I went to officer school, and I was going to be in the JAG Corps originally as an attorney, and found out that a lot of their cases were AWOL cases, where someone had depression, like you've discussed, or missing family, or had real situations that made them leave the ship or leave a base, where at the same time you have to apply the law. In other words, there is a consequence to going AWOL in the military, even if you have real reasons for doing so. So you can feel sympathetic to someone or understanding of someone partly, let's say, in their decision, but at the same time have to apply the law. Because, you know, they say justice is blind, and it should be. So it's applied equally and fairly across the spectrum, no matter your economic circumstance, no matter your state of life. And so that's the way it should be. So what questions do you still have on your mind, Brian, for our guest?
Well, you know, our word for the day that you were focused on in the monologue was empowerment and empowering. And I'm sure that, you know, some of the points I've brought up about, you know, people viewing attorneys from what they see on TV, people viewing what happens in the courtroom based on what they see on the television, and, you know, hearing from Ronique about what it's like to sit on the bench and actually have to make a decision and give a ruling which carries some kind of consequence. But in doing so, is there a way that you focus on making a decision where the person may not understand that that's the law and that's what they have to do, but the decision you make and the penalty you hand down is somewhat empowering them to correct the situation in their life and move forward instead of just punishing them to be punishing them?
I think we're talking about the deliverance part of all this as well.
Well, yes, as a judge, we have options for classes. And so I will utilize that resource frequently as opposed to...
Like anger management classes, that sort of thing?
Mm-hmm. Like anger management classes, like drug awareness classes.
Sure.
Even like co-parenting
kind of classes.
Classes, yes. So So we get to utilize all of those options in the cases that we have, you know, in I like to be able to do that as opposed to just saying, okay, here you have to go and pay this fine, or here, you know, you've got to go do community service. You have to do all these different things. Those things don't always feel rehabilitative. They feel very punitive. So being able to educate, I think, also empowers.
Well, and, you know, one of the things when you deal with the most difficult issues of divorce, where there are serious drug problems, there are serious alcohol problems, there may be domestic violence issues, can you speak a little bit to our audience? You know, it seems to me that our courts have made a significant improvement in the area, for example, of domestic violence, where there's now a separate court in Harris County where you can go to file those type of complaints that get expedited attention and that sort of thing. Can you speak a little bit about the most serious cases? Have you had CPS involvement cases? Because that's often used as a threat in divorces. You know, I'm going to call CPS on you, that sort of thing, when there's young children involved and maybe there's drug or alcohol issues involved. Can you speak a little bit about those type of issues that you faced?
Yes, I have faced each one of those scenarios at one point in time or another. And what I found with the CPS cases, that sometimes there are some very serious CPS cases that we really need CPS involvement. But unfortunately, there are a lot of times when someone is using it as a very empty threat. They are using state resources inappropriately, and they are muddying the waters of what could have been a very clear-cut case just in order to try to gain some advantage. And that I find to be so frustrating. It angers me when I see people do that, because I know that there are abused and neglected children that truly need the resources that the state has. And CPS has gotten a bad rap on multiple occasions for not adequately utilizing the resources that they have. So to belabor that system with falsities and to belabor that system with empty accusations, it angers me so much. I had a case like that where one of my clients was falsely accused of abusing his son, and the mother ended up with a criminal case for the false reporting.
Wow.
So it's very serious. The family code
speaks to it, as well as
the penal code speaks to it.
Yeah, we had a case once where, again, due to kind of the viciousness of communications through a divorce, that the mother was sentenced for 6 months of jail time on weekends by the judge because it got out of control. And so on a brighter note, in educating our audience a little bit, you know, the family courts, when there's children involved and there's custody battles involved, you know, people will hear about home studies, or people will hear about the appointment of an amicus attorney. Can you speak a little bit about guardians and amicus attorney appointments in family law matters?
Sure. The amicus attorney is an attorney that actually, more than anything, works for the court. They are the eyes and ears for the court. They are there to assist the court in determining the veracity of the witnesses and the background information that the court physically cannot go out and get.
And the best interest of the child recommendations to the court.
Well, they technically don't make recommendations, but they are there to try to assist in making certain that the proper information is what gets before the court. And so in a social study, there is a recommendation, but the amicus attorney themselves, I mean, they're still an attorney. And so they're just like you or I when it comes to that. In terms of being an attorney, our testimony is not evidence. So their sole purpose is to look out for the best interest of the children and to make certain that the information that is presented to the court is adequately represents the interest of the children.
Yes, and is your experience that when requested by either side, if there's a serious contest of custody, that courts, because of all the activities the courts must pay attention to, that they often turn to that vehicle of an amicus attorney appointment to assist themselves in making those decisions?
Absolutely. They use their amicus attorney appointments generously because they don't have the luxury of the time to give every single case that they would need in order to really make a fair and just decision. And so they do use their amicus, and I think that most of the judges try to pick the amicus that they know is actually going to look out for the best interest of the child, an amicus that's going to be fair, that's going to be reasonable, and that's going to be prepared, as we talked earlier about lawyers being prepared and that saving their clients as well as saving time. So I think that the courts take that into consideration, and they try to apportion those appointments based on the experience of the lawyer as well. If you've got a really involved and entangled custody matter, they're going to give you a more experienced attorney.
Yes, to look over and provide themselves, the court, with information, someone that they can know and trust. Like you say, there's a credibility factor with the amicus and the court. To pass information that they find reliable from that source, the amicus attorney. So then both sides interact with the amicus attorney. The amicus attorney will often do home studies in both homes and show up at unannounced times, perhaps, to get a clear picture, not just a prepared, you know, setting type, you know, interaction. So that's been very helpful information. Thank you for providing that to our audience.
Sure.
Well, Ronique, I'm going to ask you again. Did you have fun?
Would you do it again?
Would you do it again?
Anytime I would.
Well, you have been just great, great information for our audience. Thank you so much.
Yeah, we have totally enjoyed the show. This has been great. In wrapping up, can you tell the listeners how, one, they can get in touch with you, and two, how they can get a copy of your book?
Yes. Okay. My office is in Stafford, so we are in Fort Bend County, and our phone number is 281-240-7979, and you can reach us there. We have a website, BastineAndAssociates.com. We are also on Twitter at BastineAndAssociates with just the C, and we are also on Facebook. We have a like page on Facebook for Bastine & Associates, so we can be reached among almost every vehicle. And the book is on Amazon, and it is also in Kindle format. And hopefully somewhere around the end of January, we will also have an audio book.
Oh, great. Very nice. Yeah. Very nice. Well, we have enjoyed having you on the show. We're going to head to a commercial break and come back with the wrap-up right after these messages.
You put a great name on lawyers. Thank you.
Oh, well, thank you.
Did you know that an estimated 52 million Americans listened to internet radio in the last month, or that weekly internet radio audience has increased 60% over the last year, and that more than 8 in 10 people are online from any location? Tough Talk Radio Network is a company dedicated to providing a platform that allows opportunities for guests, hosts, and sponsors to market themselves through the internet radio medium, where they can be heard by millions. To find out how Tough Talk Radio Network can help you, go to toughtalkradionetwork.com.
Live at Choice, where your imagination becomes your reality. If you can imagine it, it's possible. If you can believe it, it's yours. We get it. You're done with the way it is now. You're finished with all the frustration around why you feel stuck and your life isn't working. Imagine what your life would be like if you could have all the answers and see new possibilities. We at Live at Choice choose to make a difference. Live at Choice has developed a proven process and a series of questions that lead participants to the answers they seek, gaining new understanding and self-awareness for both your personal and professional life. If you're ready to get to the life you want, contact us today. Visit liveatchoice.com to get started.
Listen to The Legal Eagle and The Coach each Wednesday from noon to 1 p.m. on Tough Talk Radio Network. Leading local and national experts in business will share their keys to success so that our listening audience can be educated and entertained along the way to becoming all they can be. So whether you're new to business or highly experienced, The Legal Eagle and The Coach with hosts David Alterburn and Brian Kaiser is a great radio program for you. For more information, go to LegalEagleAndTheCoachRadio.com.
Welcome back to the recap of another great episode of Legal Eagle and the Coach. My co-host, David Altenburn. We have, I think we've outdone ourselves again today, David.
Well, we talk about education, but I think this show in particular, we had a guest that had a wealth of information out there and, you know, maybe took away some of the misconceptions about attorneys from the television searing cross-examination that's really rare among the good attorneys or the great attorneys, to taking away the myth that it's an all-or-nothing situation. There's a lot of compromise that goes on in divorce, and she approaches it in such a healthy way, a rational way, and tries to stay away from, although you can't stay away from too much, the emotion of it all. She tries to guide and counsel her client through the emotion. That's my takeaway from this show. And one of the things I think she said is that, you know, she's creative where she needs to be creative because the presumptive guidelines on property division or children matters of support or visitation, they can be bent or changed where need be under the situation, but also to recognize where these standard guidelines apply. It's kind of like, you know, the gambler. You got to know when to hold them, you got to know when to fold them. And you got to be able to recognize, and good attorneys like her, great attorneys like her, do that for her clients. I think she was just a great value out there for our listeners today.
Well, and, you know, you started us off and we kind of narrowed the show and focused the show on empowerment. And I believe that what the element that I got from the show and the takeaways I got was that there's good attorneys out there like yourself and like Ronique, and there's good judges out there like Ronique that really focus on taking a bad situation and empowering someone to overcome it and correct it and move forward with life in a positive way instead of just, taking their money or handing them the sentence because they have to. And
well,
I think that
yeah.
That's really important for people to understand is that what you see on the television, it really doesn't happen that way. And there's a human factor in there when you get the right people that helps you with a terrible or tragic situation.
Well, and there's always situations where people have bad situations involving any profession, lawyers included. But what we learned today is that oftentimes where there's experienced attorneys on both sides, it can be a good thing for getting a result that is, you know, as least painful as possible, least expensive as possible to all concerned. And, you know, the fifth stage of the grief process is acceptance, or as she likes to say in her book, the sixth stage is deliverance. And that's what you're talking about, Brian, is right. Getting through the process to acceptance and beyond to deliverance to a better place in your life. So you can focus, as we've had on many of our shows, to be all that you want to be. You know, the entrepreneur is not the only one. We're talking about life and business excellence, as you often say. You know, be all that you can be in an emotional way, spiritual way, all that you can be in success in your business by trying proven principles to get to that place. And so it sounds like she tries to navigate clients through the divorce in that way. And that was a very healthy show.
Yeah, and you know, you talked about being all you can be, and that really segments into one of the things I wanted to close the show with is I talked about people not having the correct visibility. So I want to let our audience know that there's four spaces available to actually air your message on our show. You can actually air your message in between the segments of Legal Eagle and the Coach, and that stuff's up on Facebook, and we'll put it up on the website as well. Also, we want to let people be all they can be and tell their story in our book, A Journey to Success, which you can get the application to that book at www.ajourney2success.com. David, it's been a great show. I've really enjoyed it and really enjoyed our guest today. She's outstanding. And look forward to doing it all again next week.
Like I said, she made a great name for lawyers today. And for that, we ought to all be grateful. We need more lawyers
Definitely.
just like her.
And judges.
And judges.
That's right.
And so. Authors and speakers. She was a great guest.
Definitely. Well, David, we'll end it there, and Legal Eagle and the Coach will we'll take off. And like you took flight last week, we'll both take flight at the same time today.
And we'll land next week. See you then.
See you then.
You have been listening to Legal Eagle and the Coach with David Altenburn and Brian Kaiser on the Tough Talk Radio Network. Special thanks to all of our sponsors. If you'd like to be a sponsor or a guest, visit toughtalkradionetwork.com.